Take your Bibles, Proverbs chapter number 22, Proverbs and chapter number 22, right in the middle of your scripture, practically, Proverbs chapter number 22. We have been in a series entitled The Heart of a Child, and really striving to learn from the Word of God how we can instill a heart for God in the hearts of our children. Now, I'm excited. In a couple of weeks, we're going to begin a brand new series on marriage. And I've been reading several books, and Susanna's been teaching me lots of things. So looking forward to sharing some things with the class. But in a few weeks, we'll get going on that. But today, we begin to kind of conclude these thoughts on the home. Now, many of us, in His design, we have children, and we have a good number of couples that may be in their future. And I've often reminded couples that the best time to learn about parenting and home structure and so on is before you have kids. And you can have some of those things in order as the Lord allows or blesses your family in that way. And so that's what we're going to begin concluding today, talking about getting to the heart of behavior. Getting to the heart of behavior. And sometimes that can be a challenge for sure. One day a little girl was sitting and watching her mom in the kitchen, and she was doing the dishes and some of the busy work and such there. And suddenly she noticed that as she was kind of studying her mom and the particular lighting in the kitchen that in her mom's hair, and it was a brown hair and such, but she noticed two or three white hairs, gray hairs. And she said, "Mom, why are some of your hairs starting to turn white?" The mother thought for a moment and said, "Well, honey, every time you do something wrong or you make me cry or unhappy, God turns one of my hairs from brown to white." And the girl kind of, you know, was startled at that revelation and thought about that for a moment and then looked back at her mom and said, "Well, then, Mom, why are all of Grandma's hairs white?" And Mom discovered she got what she sowed, you know what I mean? And in the heart of her kids. And sometimes that's our fear as parents, is, "Lord, anything but me again. Help my kids to have some hope from my life as well." And we certainly want to do our best in our homes and to have the hearts of our children. A launching verse for many of these thoughts for this series has been Proverbs 22 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Then turn the page to Proverbs 23 and look at verse number 26. Proverbs 23, 26. The Bible says, "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways." And we have learned, as we've come together, as we've opened the Word of God, as we have studied the Scriptures, about how can we have the hearts of our children? How can we train them in the way that they should go? And how can we have their hearts so that then they can watch us? And what a convicting thought that is. Watch me as I live for God. And we've been challenged these weeks to live the right kind of example, to set the right kind of pattern, to cast the right kind of shadow for the benefit of those in our home. And for weeks, we've been learning from the Word of God how to develop these things, getting the hearts of our child, and then instilling in them a heart for God. As we begin to wrap that up today, I want us to just look at 12 basic, simple reminders. To me, as we kind of come to the end of these weeks of study from God's Word, let's just earmark these 12 thoughts as ones that we want to apply to our lives and in our home. Number one, seek God's direction through prayer and Bible study and making critical changes in your home, in your family. Maybe throughout this series, God has done a work in your heart and you have begun to think, "We need some changes. Maybe we need some priority changes. Maybe we need some schedule changes. Maybe we need some structure changes. Maybe we need some more application of the Word of God. Maybe we need to get rid of some stuff in our home, in our lives." And I don't know all that God has done in your heart and life throughout this series, but I want to encourage you as you begin to implement. By the way, a class like this, a series like this, lessons like these, the scriptures that are shared, they really don't do any good if we just leave them in the room. We got to take them with us. And as we take them with us, and as we study our lives and our home, and maybe begin to notate, "All right, this is what I need to do." As we plan that, we need to pray, "God, give us wisdom as we make these changes." We need the Lord's wisdom. We need His leading as we implement what He is that He's doing. And I want to encourage you, as you do that, God is never going to lead you to make Himself or His Word a lower priority in your life. So as you begin to pray and study, what changes do we need to make? I'll just tell you up front, it's not to make God less in your life or home. It's to make God more in your life or home. It's just, how are you going to make God more in your life and home? What's different right now about your life and home than it was 3 months ago as a result of the work that God has done in your life through this series? Having the heart of your children. And let's have wisdom in doing that. You say, Brother Rule, there's a list a mile long of things we're trying to do. I'm not sure how we're going to get it all done. And I encourage you with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to the understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Don't worry about it if it seems overwhelming. Take it one step at a time, one day at a time, and God will bless you for it. So seek his wisdom. Number two, make tough choices about good things. Make tough choices about good things. As you begin to develop a heart for God and having the heart of your children and strengthening your home, you're going to begin to kind of graduate from the level of Christianity where I'm constantly choosing between good and bad. This is right, this is wrong, and I got to choose right. This is good and this is bad, and I need to choose good. And sometimes we need to make those choices. But you're going to graduate to often the choices are between good and the best. And oftentimes Christians allow the good to rob them from the best. And so some tough choices have to be made. A man in our class recently was praying considerately about a decision such as this, and it wasn't between a good and a bad. But for his own life and for his own development, for his own family, it was a decision that God was giving him between good and the best. And I rejoiced with him this week as God gave him peace about this is the best thing for me to do in my relationship with God and my family. And it wasn't an easy decision, but oh, how God blesses when we choose the best things. And I don't know what it is for your family. It might be whether or not you're going to be involved in some sports or some practices. It might be a night where we're not going to get the homework done, but we're going to be a family. It might be we're going to be involved in this extracurricular or this musical instrument or whatever, but we might need to bring that back in check. There might be a day this fall or this spring, nobody goes to school and there's a family day and relationships are nurtured. There may be some leagues and some hobbies and things that you're not involved in. And I'm not against those opportunities, but I'm just saying you got to make sure God is number one and that your family is getting a major priority. And if there's time in the leftovers to do some of that, great. But if there's not, then get that off the plate so God and your family are getting what it is that they deserved. It might be some extra schooling. It might be night classes. It might be a side job. You might need to make some tough choices about good things that are preventing you from doing the best things in your life for the Lord and for your family. Have a clear conscience about the decisions you're making. It's easier to say no when there's a greater yes burning inside. Nobody can do it all. Nobody can work all the extra overtime, play in all the sports leagues, entertain all the hobbies, be the Christian they should be the husband they should be the father they should be. Nobody can do all of that. We have to make decisions. And those decisions need to be based by priority. What is the highest priority in my life? And are those areas getting the attention they should get? And that's the way life should be structured. And we need to pray one with another that we would make those tough choices and God will bless them. Number three, make a week-by-week assessment of your family time. This is so simple, but it's so helpful. Every week, assess what kind of family time you're getting. Sundays are a good day for this, maybe this afternoon. Our evening service is at 5. Maybe it's after church in the evenings. Maybe it's you alone. Maybe it's you and your bride, you and your spouse, sitting down and going through these things. But every 7 days, sit down, look at a calendar, look at your priorities, and see, are you in balance? Ask yourself questions like this. Looking over the next 7 days, when am I going to spend time with my children, individually and together as a family? When are we going to spend time together as a married couple? When are we going to spend time serving the Lord? Plan that. And if you have this practice built into your life, you're never going to go more than 7 days and be out of balance. And you're going to look at your calendar and make sure that things are as they should. Now, there might need to be some seasons of temporary imbalance. Maybe it's vacation Bible school. Man, I'm teaching and my wife is doing the craft and all of our kids are in there and it's going to be kind of a crazy week. Okay, but it's over Thursday. And we went into it as a family agreeing, let's go serve and be a part of it. And then when it's all over, we're going to get some good family time and get to do those types of things together. So there may be a temporary season of imbalance, but it should not come blindly and it should not be prolonged. It should be something you know about, you're agreeing about, and you know there's going to be an end to it. Number four, be willing to schedule extended time with a struggling member of your family. This might be a day you take off work and you and your bride just go spend the day together. This might be taking a day off work and taking one of your children and just going doing something together. You know, sometimes we hit an impasse in our marital relationship or relationship with one of our kids. And quite frankly, we don't know what to do. We feel like we're beating our head against the wall. We feel like we've talked it through. We've done this. We've done that. We've applied this. We've tried this. And it's just not going anywhere. And sometimes the answer is just get away, spend time together, and have fun. And I'm not saying reward good for evil to a disobedient child, but I am saying sometimes there's a disconnect of heart because there just needs to be some time spent together and go have a good time. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And one adjustment we might need to make in the future as a result of what we're learning is the willingness to, hey, I need to spend some extended time. Hey, my wife and I aren't where we should be right now. Then are you getting extra time in? You can't have a thriving marriage and not spend time together. Man, I just don't feel connected with my kids. Are you spending time with them? You're not going to feel connected with your kids and that their heart safely rests with you and that you're connected in that way if there's no time being spent. And so we've got to make sure we're spending time together. Number five, do not expect an overnight miracle. Now, we have been studying lots of things over the last several weeks. And you might be in a place in your own home where you came into this series with a lot of imbalance. You came into this series with a lot of things out of order. And as we've studied the Word of God and as we've applied these scriptures to our lives and to our homes and to our marriages and our parenting and such, there may be things that God is laying upon your heart and decisions that He wants you to make. And I just want to encourage you, don't expect an overnight miracle, okay? If it took you 6 or 12 months doing it against God, doing it not His way, doing it out of order, it's probably not going to be fixed overnight because we decide to give God a shot. We're probably going to have to work at the solution. We may know what to do, but it doesn't mean it's just going to happen because we know what to do. It's going to happen when we do what we know to do. And if I did it wrong for 6 months, it may take me a couple of months of doing it right to get this ship going back in the right way. The larger the ship, the longer it takes to turn it around. So if we've been out of balance or out of place or against God, then we need to have a realistic understanding. It's going to take some time to get this in the right direction. Not expecting an overnight miracle, certainly believing in God and what He can do, but knowing it's going to take some time to get it done. The hearts of your children will be won and will be kept by following a prolonged pattern of consistency and faithfulness. One of the things that we have highlighted week after week in this series is being consistent, faithful parents. Because you do that long enough, and it's going to do so much in the heart of your children. Can I make one other note here? May you and I be careful not to become the victim of the overnight parent syndrome. And what I mean by that is we've neglected our families. So then we come in like the knight coming to save the damsel in the castle and we, let's go to Disneyland tomorrow. And we don't have the money to go to Disneyland. We didn't plan to go to Disneyland, but we haven't done anything with the family for so long and we're so guilty. So let's go do that. And then we go do that. And now we're further in debt. Now we lost our job because we called in sick and we weren't sick. And then this happened and then that happened. And then we go another long period of time where we don't have any family time. And then, let's go, to the moon. And man, it's going to be a great family activity. And then we do that, And then we have all the consequences that go with that. And we go through this whole season of not doing anything. And then we come out with this huge event to make up for it, and then we go another whole season not doing anything. You know what's happened to families in America today? We have forgotten how to create fun. We only know how to buy it. The nights of just playing a game. Our kids call it, what do our kids call it, honey? Lights out. We turn every light off in the house. And it's like hide and seek, but it's pitch black. And the places our kids find to hide, I didn't know we had places like that in our home, it's crazy. But you ask them, it's one of their favorite activities. It doesn't cost me a penny. I don't have to do a lot of prep for it. But if they can have their desire, man, if it's bedtime, can we play lights out? It might be Uno. It might be whatever. It might just be wrestling on the ground. It might be going out and throwing the baseball. It might be taking your daughter by the hand and taking a walk. There's a lot of things we could do And we need to make sure that we're spending that time, that we're having those memories being made, and that we're not falling syndrome to, we've got to have this huge thing because we haven't had anything, and we don't plan to have anything for a while, but rather consistently doing some things that will strengthen our homes. Number six, look for teaching moments. Look for teaching moments. Nurturing is not force. We spent a whole week on this out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, where we're challenged to teach him diligently, to talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And he goes on and on. And he's basically saying, moms, dads, be alert. There's going to be a teaching opportunity. There's going to be a mentoring opportunity, and look for them. And by the way, the more you know this book, amen, then when they present themselves, you're going to be ready to utilize them. Sometimes teaching opportunities present themselves and we don't know what to apply, which is why we need to keep coming and keep opening the Word of God and keep learning and keep applying, so that when these teaching opportunities open up in our lives, we can give something to our children from the Word of God. Number seven, connect with the heart. Connect with the heart. There's a lot of activities that we can do together as a family where we might technically be together as a family, but we're no more connected. It might be, you know, watching something on TV or whatever. And there may be a time and place for that from time to time. But we want to make sure in the balance of our home that we're finding activities and things that we can do together that truly connect, that get people talking, that create and sustain a heart-to-heart connection. We've talked so much in this series about the importance of the heart. May we never confuse conformity with comprehension. Well, my kids do what I say. And there is a season in their youth, young toddlers, where that's enough. But there is a season beyond where they need to know why. They need to comprehend, this is what we do. This is why we do it. It's right. It's according to the Word of God. It's what God has for us. Why? Because we need to give them something to stand on beyond our influence as they get older. Connecting with the heart. Number eight, pray with them and for them. Pray with them and for them. There are very few things that speak to the heart like prayer. We've talked in this series about praying together as a family, maybe having special times in the morning or the night, and a devotional time, and reading maybe a proverb of the day, or a few verses, or a picture Bible, or a devotional like the Word of the Wise that we have here, and doing something like that, and just letting the Word of God minister to your family, and then closing it with some prayer. And maybe everybody in the family prays. Maybe just dad prays. Maybe just mom prays. Maybe one of the kids pray. But somebody, ask God to bless your family, and your family might do well. The other thing we've stressed in this series is pray with your kids before bed. Get connected with them. You listen as they talk to God, and they hear you talk to God about them. It's so powerful. It teaches and connects to the heart. Pray with them and for them. Number nine, show frequent, appropriate affection. Show frequent, appropriate affection. I don't know about you, I love to talk to parents who've been there, done that, and have the t-shirt. You know what I mean? Parents who've already reared all their kids and their kids are seem to be doing right. I love to get a few minutes with them and just pick their brain and teach me, teach me, teach me. I don't want my kids to run out like me, and I want to know, you know, what to do. And they have so much wisdom to offer. But you know, a common thread I've heard in talking to parents who have grown children is that the physical touches of affection were critical in the rearing of their kids. Showing appropriate affection. If your son or daughter refuses a hug from you, pulls away when maybe you're just trying to put your arm around them, or rejects affection, you've got a problem. There's something going on there in the heart of that child, and we need to find out what it is and make sure that there is an appropriate level of affection in our home. As I've talked with parents, sometimes you'll hear parents say, well, I'm just not the affectionate type. Have you ever stepped back and thought, where did that thought come from? Who doesn't want you to be affectionate to your own child? Because children need affection. And they're going to reach an age where they're going to get it somewhere. And I don't know about you, I've got three girls, and I know where I want their affection coming. Me. Amen. Not some creep. Not some jerk. Not some punk. Not some whatever. That's like when they're 35. And when they enter that season, I want to make sure that their love tank is full with dad, that they know how to be treated. I'll never forget my wife's cousin, my wife's mom's brother, David Doolittle. good man. He's in my dad's church. And at his daughter's wedding, she was, maybe the reception or something, but she was giving a bit of a speech, and she was talking about her dad. And she said, "Dad, I want you to know that I love you, and I want to thank you for one thing. I want to thank you for the way you treated me." The byproduct of that was, I knew how I should be treated. And there were times I knew I should not be in a relationship with this person or that person because by the way they treated me, because it wasn't like the way Dad treated me. And she had been conditioned by the love of a father to know that's love and that's not. And she knew what was right and what was wrong. And I thought that was a powerful illustration of Dad, do your part. Mom, do your part. Make sure to be connected. Make sure to show that affection and give it when they need it. Number 10, don't stop serving God. Don't stop serving God. Has Satan ever kind of come to you and said, you know, if you stopped singing in the choir, if you didn't go soul winning all the time, if you weren't teaching or so involved, you probably would have more time to fix things and your home would probably be better off. And I just want to encourage you as we conclude these thoughts, be careful before you start taking an axe to the eternal investments you make. Sometimes if we're not careful and we kind of assess that our home needs some attention or needs some work, one of the first things we eliminate is what we do for God. And one of the last things we deal with are the self-centered things we like to do. And I just want to encourage you, as you make the adjustments necessary in your home to honor God, don't stop serving God. Amen. Don't eliminate what you're doing for eternity. Yes, your family is your first ministry. You know I believe that, preach and teach it. But it probably shouldn't be your only ministry. There should be more we're doing for God. God came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ didn't have a place to pillow his head. He was serving people. And God wants you and I to serve people. We assemble in his design together to encourage each other, to learn the word of God, to strengthen our homes, and then to go out in this community and reach more people and bring them in so that they can hear what we're hearing and we can minister to their needs. And then they can go with us to reach some more people and bring them in. That's what it's all about.
Amen.
And we don't want to stop serving God. We want to stay involved in that very effort. Number 11, serve God together. Sometimes we often miss this incredibly simple solution. Serve God together. Teach your children to love serving God by serving God with them. Get your family involved in ministry. Get them involved. Yesterday was a great opportunity, and many of our families did this, bringing their kids out, getting some breakfast, getting a map, getting some tracks, and going out and knocking on doors and inviting people to church. We did that, and Susanna did that with strollers and two kids in strollers and such. And kids barely old enough to hold the tracks, you know. And I get to ring the doorbells, or I get to do whatever. And they all had their little job. But find something to serve God together as a family. Involve your children in that opportunity. Again, don't let the devil tell you, be careful, you might get too much of God. Be careful, you might get too much of ministry. That is such a false man-made concept. God nor the ministry has never hurt a family. Now, there may be a season where somebody has not been able to say no, and they're so overextended in ministry that their family truly suffers and they need a lesson on some priorities. But those are far and few between. Oftentimes, we're not involved as we should be, and our family suffers as a result. It's so good for families to be involved in serving God. It's so good for families to see how good we have it just by seeing other people and what they face without Christ. It makes you go home so appreciative that you know Christ, that there's a love in your home and that God is there. It's a wonderful thing. Serve the Lord together. There's a lot of things your family could overdose on. It might be sports, Boy Scouts, extracurricular activities of something of that nature, but it's probably not God. And make sure you make serving him a priority. Then number 12, and I think this is a good concluding thought for this lesson today. Recognize that only you hold the power of choice for your family. Recognize that only you hold the power of choice for your family. When we learn about the home, we are quick to blame people for the condition of our home. It's our boss. It's our spouse. It's where we live. It's our circumstances. It's the company we work for. It's our extended family. We have a lot of people we can place a pretty quick fault for where we are. And I think a good concluding thought for us today is this. There's really nobody else to blame but me. There may be some circumstances out of my control, but there's a lot that I can do. And God, help me not to blame this person, this person, this person, or it's this circumstance, or it's this situation, or it's this whatever. But help me to recognize I hold the power of choice for my family. I decide whether or not we're in church today. I decide whether or not we're in church tonight at 5 o'clock. I decide whether or not we're going to begin tomorrow with the Word of God or not. I decide what it is we're going to do and how we're going to do it. We hold the power of choice. And someday, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and we're going to give an account. And God is going to look at our lives, and for many of us, being in a church like this and a class like this and receiving instruction on marriage in the home as we have and as we will, and we'll stand before the Lord and we will give an account. And that's not going to be an opportunity to tell them about our mom or our grandmother or our boss or our neighbor or this thing or that thing. It's just going to be our opportunity to give an account on whether or not we did what we were supposed to do. Amen. And I just want to encourage all of us, the heart of a child, having it so we can instill a heart for God. And help us this week to recognize, as we look at these simple reminders, we can choose to do these things. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And if I get God's help and implement these things in my home, what a difference maker. What a game changer. And may our homes in every way please and honor the Lord. And I pray that your marriages are strengthened. I pray that your homes are strengthened. I pray that if you have children, that those relationships are nurtured and strengthened. Or if that's something that the Lord has in your future that you're preparing, that that would be something that is honoring and pleasing to the Lord. And may this week we take these simple reminders and may we understand if we're going to have the hearts of our kids, it boils down to one thing. Giving ourselves to God and to our family. And may this week in the way we live, may it be unmistakably clear, we are God's and we're committed to our home.
Amen.
And we're committed to doing it God's way. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time and your precious word. And thank you for the opportunity to meet and be together this morning. And God, I pray that you would challenge us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to receive what it is that we have garnished from your word week in and week out, Lord, that we would take it and that we would apply it to our lives and to our home. Lord, that we would leave here desiring to take these simple reminders and implement them, that our homes may please you and that indeed we would be committed to you and committed to our family. And I pray for the families of the His Design class that they would represent a group that is striving to build homes in a way that honors and pleases the Lord, to train children up in the way they should go, to have the hearts of our children, that they may observe our ways as we follow Christ. Lord, thank you for our guests today. I pray that you'd bless them, and I pray that you'd bless every member of our class. Give them a wonderful week, and bless their homes, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.